Okay, so back in 1976, after I finished high school, and I was supposed to be preparing for the big conservatory piano audition, and practicing massively on the piano, and terrified, scared out of my wits, since playing classical piano is something that's always I've always had a phobia for. And so I didn't get it together, and so I graduated from high school and spent a year painting houses and cleaning offices. At the end of the year, there was a drunken car accident, and my father came with the papers, and it was sort of like being committed to a mental institution. I signed the papers and went off to Columbia, where he knew I would not be driving as much because the city has mass transit.
Okay. So you weren't living in the city when you had the drunken...
No, I was living in Suffern, and I was being a townie and working and drinking.
What did it involve getting into Columbia at that point?
My father came with the papers. Signed them.
That's it. You were in. He was a made man at Columbia, so you could just
No, I don't think it was quite that way. I think actually the deal I had a pretty good grades at the end of high school. And I should say my best friend died in a drunken car accident a couple years before I graduated from high school, and that like kind of changed everything. And any case, I did pretty well coming out of high school, and he got me into the adult program, which they call General Studies, which is supposed to be for people over 21, but it could be for people who are under that age if they were working full time. And so, and I essentially was working full time, even though at that point I stopped working at those jobs because I was working as Arthur Cunningham's copyist and music editor, and I was also playing gigs. And so,
you already had copyist skills?
Oh yeah.
And how did you come by that particular?
Well, because I essentially was apprenticed to Arthur Cunningham. The black composer, the jazz musician.
We talked about him a lot.
So he apprenticed me and taught me how to copy music and how to edit the scores and parts. And I'd go over to his house and I'd take the stuff home and I learned to copy music and how to deal with scores.
So did you feel that was a massive advantage in dealing with getting into with what was going to show up in the program?
It turned out to be, yeah, because I knew how to professionally prepare manuscripts and all kinds of things like that, you know. I was used to it and knew how to use a ruler, and that stems are supposed to be one octave long and all those things, and yeah.
So that was undergraduate at Columbia, which I should imagine was probably like undergraduate or sort of prep school for something worse, or was it?
No, okay, absolutely not.
Good.
Undergraduate at Columbia at that time in the music department was, I believe, 40 people declared as majors in the year that I started, and 3 of us graduated. The first day I showed up in the music history class, and Professor Ed Lippmann told us to go buy both volumes of Gustav Reis, his Music in the Renaissance and Music in the Middle Ages, and the Billy Apple Harvard Dictionary. And this was like something like $100 worth of books, which was absolutely insane amount of money back then. And he basically said, go read the first chapter in the Music in the Middle Ages, or the first 3 chapters, and look up any terms you don't understand in the dictionary. Well, Gustav Reis is not a book that's written with any kind of notion of being an introduction to anything.
Right.
It was a book that was written for other scholars. And so immediately I'm dealing with the first chapter is, of course, about the Greeks and the math of the Greek tuning systems and these Greek words, and I'm coming out of bad high school, and my reaction was, this is the real deal.
Uh-huh.
This is for real. Uh-huh. This is like totally harsh, and there's no, and I loved that. Uh-huh. I absolutely loved that.
You liked the challenge.
Yeah, and we came back after the first week, and he asked us if there were any questions, and nobody could manage to formulate a question because we were so completely confused by what we had read. And he simply said, go read the next three chapters and come back next week. And this went on until we got to the midterm. And he gave the midterm, and I remember this very well, because we had there was essentially had been no lecturing.
Uh-huh.
And we were just completely bewildered.
Uh-huh.
And there was a question on the midterm, I remembered it was... It was like describe the function of a pentone.
I don't even
And
know
I believe
what that
I missed
yet.
That question.
A pentone.
A pentone. It turned out it was a footnote that was about Chinese music.
Oh.
And a pentone is an embellishing tone in Chinese music, and the footnote related this practice to some aspect of Gregorian chant or something, and that was the way it was. And he handed out the midterm, and within 10 minutes, four girls got up with tears in their eyes and left the room, never to be seen again. This was perfectly fine as far as he was concerned.
Had you picked up what the pentone was?
I did not get that one.
Okay.
No, but I did manage to get a B+ in the course, which is like one of my greatest achievements in life, and survived.
Was the whole thing only about music in the Middle Ages? Did that turn out to be the whole class?
The class, well, it was music in the... They had instituted a program. They brought in Jacques-Louis Minot. This is the heyday of... Almost everyone that was teaching there was a musicologist who had been trained by Paul Henry Lang.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were very concerned about maintaining standards. And their idea for standards meant that, and they were very concerned that you know, people weren't becoming musically ignorant, and so we were just going to be, our choice was either knuckle down and learn this stuff for which we were hopelessly unprepared to learn, or go pick a different major.
Mm-hmm.
And it was routine, you know. Richard Taruskin would come into the class and say to a student, this classroom isn't big enough for the both of us. I've spoken to the dean. I said, you're going to have to change your major, and goodbye. And hold the door open for the kid as he left
Taruskin
the room.
Taruskin was teaching there.
Yes, Taruskin was teaching there.
I thought he was a...
He was a young and brutal man. Good stuff. But so, because they had all these Paul Henry Lang students, first of all, their idea was, well, if you can't read Greek, you probably have no business being a musician.
I love this. Okay, carry on.
Because you're not going to be able to really get the medieval history together if you can't read the Greek. And you better, you know, this is like kind of their attitude about the thing.
Okay, this is great.
So, and they also had the idea that they would teach the theory alongside the historical periods.
Mm.
So you start with medieval and Renaissance and do species counterpoint. Mm-hmm. And then you would do Baroque, and you would learn diatonic harmony. They call it diatonic harmony. Mm-hmm. And then they'd do and send me some classical. And then they'd kind of do so diatonic harmony. Then we did. Then we had a Bach style counterpoint alongside the classical stuff as well, and kind of moving forward in the music history and the theory at the same time, and then finally romantic music at the same time. So you're taking romantic chromatic harmony at the same time that you're studying in music history, Wagner, etc. And then after all of that. So that's like 8 terms of history and music theory. Then we had form and analysis. And then on top of all that, we also had a senior seminar. All of this with co-requisite ear training. And with really the attitude, like, well, if you can't keep up, then there's nothing to be done for you. You need to not be in this program.
At this point, had you dropped off of the scene playing music in New York? I mean, around New York playing bass?
I was, yes, at this point in time, I went to the general studies for 1 year and then transferred into the college.
Explain the difference there. What was the difference?
General studies was part-time, kind of.
Okay, so then you decided...
Although I always tried to keep my workload down.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I started out, I was still playing up in Rockland County with my progressive band, which had kind of degenerated into a fusion band.
With the time.
But that had kind of was dying off. And then John Van, we went up to Berkeley in Boston. And so there was a period of time there where I wasn't playing in bands.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years.
Now, how did you feel about, what's your feeling about the way that the sudden influx of a particular stream of knowledge or whatever you were encountering at Columbia, how did that interface with the way that you had been dealing with things previously?
Well, you know, I'd always had that kind of odd split in my life between, how can you put this? I mean, when you're studying classical piano as a 10-year-old kid in Suffern, New York, and we were essentially like urchins, you know? I mean, we kind of grew up in the wild, and we went from hanging around in the woods, running around half-naked savages, to running around the streets as juvenile delinquents. And when you're living in that sort of world, you know, to go off to the nice rich lady's house and take the piano lessons already creates a kind of a split
mm-hmm.
in your cultural world.
Mm-hmm.
And but I always took to the musical information stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found it to be fascinating and interesting and you know, and especially when I was working with Arthur, it was really tremendous and rich. And when I was working with Arthur, I mean, there was a sense of like, well, this is in very strong contrast with the crap that they did at the school music program. You know, where mm-hmm. they're just doing whatever. It's band. You know,
right.
I don't do band.
Mm-hmm.
My students come in with arrangements for band, and I look at them and I go, "Where are the strings? I can't read the score. Get it away from me."
Right.
I don't want to know this music.
I'm
not partial to it. It's that uh-huh. sort of thing. And you know, it's like marching band and all this cheesy musical stuff. And,
yeah.
and then I'm going over to studying with Arthur, and I'm studying Bach and Chopin, and learning about the harmonic concepts of Teddy Wilson. So there was a sense of like, well, this is the real music.
Yeah.
And then this is this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's a third thing, which is the actual music, you know, which is the rock music that I was playing, which was always very strongly informed by everything I learned from Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
So those worlds were actually a little bit more connected than this other institutional music.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to Columbia, this just seemed like it was more of the Arthur world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like the real... And I remember talking to Arthur at one point and saying, I don't know if I could ever get it together to actually, like, learn enough to write an orchestra piece. It seems, and, you know, an immense amount of stuff. And he said, oh, it takes... I think he said it takes 6 years. And so at Columbia, it was like, oh, well, here we go. Here's the 6 years. I can do this.
Yeah. I think it takes about 6 years.
Yeah. So I didn't have any complaints about the Columbia stuff and the,
yeah.
you know, the fact they were mean. I mean, I did
at least in basic ones.
Less than I should have for one. I had one troubled semester, but the rest of the time,
mm-hmm.
to me, it was absolutely delightful.